Let us pray. Our precious Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege we have tonight to study your word. We trust you that by your spirit you will teach us and open our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are talking about developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit or living in intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This topic for 2024 is not going to be like the first time we taught it. First time we're just teaching. No. This time we do some teaching, but mostly prayers. Because prayers, when we talk, you see the importance of prayer and how prayer can develop your intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So before now, today we're talking about developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit or living in intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now let's understand that this study is very, very important because nothing happens in the kingdom of God if not by the power of God. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of Christ because Jesus is God. Zechariah said in Zechariah 4:6, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And in Isaiah 31:1, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." Because we trust in so many things, in our job, in our friends, connections. That's where we usually run to. We run into trouble, looking for friends to call, start talking. And prayer becomes a secondary thing. Actually, that's why we really are not serious about prayer. Because we usually have our plans laid out there. And then, you know, prayer is just adjutant, just what you use to, you know, make it up. So the scripture says, in Isaiah 31, you say, "What said those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." Say, all they get is what? Isaiah 32:15. "Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field." What makes the wilderness of your life become a fruitful field is the power of the Holy Spirit. All the struggle is, he can't do anything. It says, "Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, then the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest." It goes from the wilderness, becomes a fruitful field, and from fruitful field, it turns into a forest. Why? It's the Spirit of God doing all of these things. We struggle a lot because we do not understand the place of the Holy Spirit in our life. We struggle a lot, and we get frustrated. A lot of things we struggle for. If he gets involved, you'll be at rest and get things done. And done where you will never be able to do it the whole of your life. He can do what this country can't do in 1 minute. And God says it's by the Spirit that the things should happen in our lives as Christians. But that's who we neglect the most. You know, Jesus did nothing until the Spirit came on him. He did absolutely nothing until the Spirit came on him. The Bible says he now went with the power of that Spirit. Our Lord Jesus did absolutely nothing until that Holy Spirit came, until the Spirit is poured in your life. Any area of your life that's desert, if the Spirit is not poured on you to touch that area, it remains desert. It remains desert. So we need to desire intimacy with the Holy Spirit if it's the means through which our wilderness becomes a forest, then we need to really desire intimacy with him. If it's a means through which things happen for us in the kingdom, we need to really desire intimacy with him. I remember reading, a brother was sharing a testimony how the Holy Spirit makes the difference. The difference. God called him to something, and he was struggling. And then one time, I think God told him what to do, and I've forgotten the details, but he said what he was struggling for. Overnight, he woke up to see that 17,000 people had visited that site where he was struggling for so long. Nobody. Because the Spirit got involved in that. He was sleeping. He said, I was shocked. That's what it does. That's what it does. But he's the one what we neglect most, and we say all manner of things about him that are not true. Struggle a lot in life. But God desires intimacy with his children, just like we desire intimacy with our children. You know, God is the one that even initiated intimacy. Luke chapter 19, 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So while we were lost, he came to seek us. He was not avoiding us. He came to seek us and to save us and to bring us to himself. Then in Hebrews 13, 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Let it be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, look at what he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's guaranteed in the fellowship. I'm not going to leave you. If everybody leaves you, I'm not leaving you. If you do something that makes people forsake you, I won't forsake you. That tells you how much God desires to have intimacy with us. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is not a privilege of a few people. No. It's a privilege that all children of God should enjoy. Because if God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, what he's saying is, I'm open to have fellowship with you anytime. You know? Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, which greater fellowship is this? Where your spirit is joined to the Spirit of Christ and you become one with him. It's a mystery. That God will join his spirit with his human spirit, which he created, the new one, the new Christ spirit, and you become one with him. We seem to forget these truths very easily. Very, very easily. Now, but there are things that will enhance our intimacy with the Holy Spirit so you can see him work in your life more often. You know, the Spirit of God can be here and it's not doing anything. That is here does not mean he's manifesting. No. That's what is called the manifest presence of God, where God is doing something. But he can be here. And just because you won't let him. So there are things that will make the Holy Spirit manifest in your life and bring you closer to him and make your intimacy real in your daily life. Many Christians are struggling who don't hear God. They don't know what God is telling them. They can't tell if God told them to sit down. They have never even made that attempt. They don't even know the voice of God. Because they don't understand that voice of God is what gives them victory. That's what leads you to still waters. That's what leads you to green pastures. That's what leads you into victory. That intimacy, that you're working together with the Holy Spirit. Many don't know his voice. They don't even understand the things of the Spirit and the things of the devil, the things of the world. They can't tell it apart. So, but there are certain things that will enhance our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Number one, is walking in faith in his word. This is so important, to walk in faith in his word. There is no intimacy with him when we disagree with him. Of course, it's normal. Huh? If somebody doesn't agree with you, So how do you walk in fellowship? There is no fellowship. Amos 3:3, we all know that. They can two walk together except they be agreed. But if we remain faithful in walking in his word, if we remain faithful in living the life of faith, walking in his word, and not walk away from his word because of whatever or whoever, you will enjoy the benefit of his, you will enjoy the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. You will enjoy it. Let me say it here. A Christian is not supposed to be in confusion. You're not supposed to be. You are not supposed to be. There is nothing about your life you should be confused about. Because we're children of the light. I mean, if you are walking in the light, there's light here. How can you be walking and you don't know your path? You know that this is the way to go. It's the way to go. A Christian is not supposed to walk in darkness. Confusion is darkness. And that is what throws us into all manner of deceit that is out there. And then all day, your friends call you to do this. Your friends call you to do this one, to invite you to all of that. Because you are confused. You don't know where to stand. And yet, you have the counselor with you. You have the counselor with you. Why is he not manifesting in that ministry of counseling you? He will do that if you practice believing what he says. But if you make your life a life that does not trust him, you'll be in limbo. I'm telling you, you'll be in limbo. There's no option to walk in faith. 1 John 2:24. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. You must be faithful to it. Very important that you're faithful to it. Let me make another statement here. The Spirit of God doesn't move because you are shouting or yelling. That's what people do. It doesn't move because you are yelling or shouting or shaking your hand. He doesn't respond to any of those things at all. He only responds to your faith. To your faith. Your faith activates it. Activates him. So he says, if you are faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning, if you do, conditional. Friends, conditional. It's not by run all over the place. If you remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning, if you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. It's as simple as that. If you remain faithful to what you've been taught, for you to learn, you need to be humble. Because people who are not humble, they don't learn. They are not teachable. The Holy Spirit said, that's all it takes to maintain fellowship with the Son and the Father, is to remain faithful to what you've been taught. Believe the word that he has spoken to you. Walk in faith. And then you begin to see him manifest the benefits of your salvation without effort. Without effort. Let me say it again. If anything serious is coming your way as a Christian, you don't need a prophet. The Spirit of God will lead you. And he will prepare you. He will make you, get you ready to overcome that. You don't need a prophet. He said, I will show you things to come. You don't need it. I'm not kidding. You don't need a prophet. Because he's interested in your life more than you are. He said, but you have to walk in my word that I'm teaching you, so that I can remain in fellowship with me. Then verse 25 said, and in this fellowship now, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. So when you are in this fellowship, then you begin to enjoy your Christianity You begin to enjoy his reality. You begin to know he's there. You understand his guidance. You're not confused. Verse 26. He said, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray from what you've been taught. Friends, it's not difficult. There's nothing about God that is difficult. Nothing. And walking away will hinder your fellowship with him. It will. Galatians 5:3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. See, when the scripture said Christ is of no effect to a Christian, he's falling off Christianity. This is English. Because there's no Christianity that is not faith in Christ. He said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whoever you are that are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. And it's by grace you are saved. When you fall off grace, fall off your salvation, fall off everything. Why? Because you chose your own way of doing things and not accept what he taught you. That's by grace you are saved, through faith. That's it. Or you won't believe it. You want to do your own thing. You want to qualify before God. And God said, no, if you want to qualify, then you have rejected the only way through which you qualify is what Christ did on the cross. That's what qualifies you here. Let me again say something that will help us here. Those who live by faith, my brothers and sisters, those who live by faith are those who put their faith solidly on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Alone. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. You know what that means? It means that he's the beginning and end of it. Which means there's no faith outside of him. He's the author and finisher, the beginning. Author is the right, the beginning, the finish. And we sing it, on Christ that solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking. We sing it. We do. Do we really understand it? I was in my house. It was like, it's not a vision. It's not a vision. But like I've seen, you know, Christians worship and praise, and like they were really partying. Honestly, they were like, it's like they were party mood. They were dancing and rocking, and then it was like party mood. And something said to me, that's worldly. They're entertaining themselves. You know, a lot of songs we sing are inspired. But if we sing it by our spirit, the revelation comes and you connect with God by faith. We sing it. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Those who live by faith are simply those who have put their faith in the only solid rock, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and nothing else. You know, when the devil wants to destroy your life, he will make you the God of your life. And it's easy to accept it. Very, very cheap to accept it. It's not difficult to accept it. He will make you, put you at the seat of your life. And then you think because of what I'm doing, it's because I did this, and I did this, and I did this. It's called self-righteousness. And God said it's filthy rag. But when the Holy Spirit is walking, he will put Jesus at the seat of your heart. And you'll be talking about, if not for the Lord that is with us, the enemy would have swallowed us up. You'll be talking about, the Lord is my salvation and my helper. The Lord is my life. The Lord is my provider. You'll be talking about what the Lord is, because he's the boss. And you can't talk about what is and doing if you don't put your faith solely on him. Second John 1:9. Is it 2 John 1:9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He's fallen from grace. Can't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is here to exalt Jesus. And not a man, not a church, not a group. To exalt Jesus alone. Because a man can't save you. A group can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. And only him is the one that God has exalted. Because he's the only one that went to the cross for us. So he said, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Which doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. That salvation is from him. Doctrine of Christ. He is the Savior. He is the way to God. Doctrine of Christ. He gave you life. Doctrine of Christ. He saved you from the devil, saved you from the world through his blood. Doctrine of Christ, of what he did on the cross for you. Those are the people who live by faith. Let me read it again. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. 18, being then made free from sin. Christ made you free from sin. People who abide in the doctrine of Christ accept what Christ has done for them. Paul said, those of us who live by the Spirit depend on what Christ has done. That's walking by the Spirit. Depending on what Christ has done. Remember that they say if you abide by the things you've been taught, you'll have fellowship with him. That's all it takes. He says, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Who made you free from sin? Christ. See, when the devil puts you at the center of your heart, you think, you are the one that, you think, I don't commit sin. But when you know that Jesus is the only hope of glory, you thank him for setting you free from the power of sin. You begin to exalt him and not yourself. Let's see another example. Hebrews 10:18-22. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Those who accept the doctrine of Christ believe that the sacrifice of Christ is all that is needed for forgiveness of sin. You don't have to add anything. God does nothing from you. Nothing. Anything you want to add is pollution. And he said, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. That's all. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. By his death, by his blood, he opened the way to God. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Bible says when the temple was standing, that the way to God had not been revealed. Had not been revealed. That's why they had all this temple and had the curtain and all that. When Christ died, that curtain ripped to two. Because it's the way to God. The curtain and all those things ceased to be the way to God. Doctrine of Christ. You want fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Faith pleases God so much. I had with Wigglesworth, he said, there's something about faith and God that God will pass over a million people to get to you if he knows you trust him. And that's true. Look at what God did. Enoch walked in faith, and his faith so pleased God that God took him alive and said, come to heaven. Come, leave this earth. Come. Man, he so loved it. The Bible said they woke up in the morning. Enoch was no more. He was gone. Just woke up, the man was gone. God was so pleased with this man's faith. And I want you to listen to me. The people who lived, who least recorded in the Bible, were the people who lived by faith. Enoch, one of them. Because when you live by faith, then the power of God starts working in your life and makes you what he wants you to be. And let's look at it. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. So they were looking for him. The wife was looking for him, all the children everywhere. The man has gone home. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you how he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what he's saying, he pleased God by his faith. It was his faith that pleased God. God was so excited about this man. I was so happy that early in the morning, he said, hey, come home. Took him home. That's how much God get pleased by our faith. Because faith is what shows that you really believe that God is God. If you don't believe God and call him a liar, how is he God to you? You can say all you want to, but in your heart, you don't believe he's God. Because if he's God, you can stake your life on what he said. Faith pleases God a lot. A lot. So we should endeavor to develop our faith and walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult. All it takes is study the Bible, practice doing it, practice believing God. But let me say here, many Christians don't even practice believing God at all. They don't even consider it important. They just go to church and go home. They trust in all these rituals they do. They just go to church and go home. And the life we live is just mere normal life. Mere normal life. Mere normal life. I was listening to A.W. Tozer, one of those that I preached 150 years back. He said, and it's true. He said, in the world in which we live, he said, a few Christians don't smoke, some don't drink. He said, that's about all. That's the difference between the Christian and the unbelief. He said, the rest is identical. Friends, the presence of the Holy Spirit will distinguish you. His presence is not a joking matter. It's not a religious thing. It's a personality. He's the spirit of the very spirit of the living God. If he's manifest and active in your life, everywhere you go, everything you do, people will notice there's something. And your prayer will be so effective because he will inspire it. He will tell you what to pray about. He will inspire it. He will guide you in everything. Number two is fellowship through prayers. You know, like I said, we're going to do some study, but we'll do a lot of more prayers this year, more than study. So we have prayed. We just want to do this study. I don't know what will happen on Thursday. I'll be listening. If they say, you people come and pray, we'll come and pray. If they say, teach one more, I ask them, what am I teaching? They will teach one. But we're going to do more prayer, because as we study, we're going to see that in prayer, your fellowship with God manifests God in your life, and God becomes real. Becomes real. So prayer is having an intimate fellowship with God. It is coming to God's presence to share your life with Him. What can be more intimate than that? That you go to God's presence. A consistent prayer life is a consistent sharing of your life with your Father in an intimate relationship within a child and his or her father. A privileged fellowship of sons of God to come and call Him Abba Father. Privileged fellowship. You heard Pastor Sinadi talking about how they got a letter and the wife was going to cry. Say, no, don't cry. We have a privileged fellowship to pray and go to daddy. We have a father. We sing it, I have a father, almighty father. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. I have a father. That's what the pastor did. He said, no, don't cry. We have a privileged fellowship with the highest authority there is. It's our father. So let's talk to him. And they did. And in 3 days, everything reversed. Prayer should be conversation. I don't know prayer not to be conversation. You cannot be a Christian and you are serious and you are confused. Number two, if you are a real, genuine Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, demons will recognize you anywhere. And they get away from you. They will be avoiding you. Hey, I'm telling you, they will avoid you. You know who is in you? God Almighty. If they are not avoiding you, something is wrong. They will make every effort to run away from you. Because if you rise up in anger and exercise your kingdom authority. Yeah. That authority is the same authority that created heaven and earth. It's not different. The same authority. If you rise up, any Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who is walking in the word and in deep fellowship with the Holy Spirit, is avoided by the kingdom of darkness. They're afraid of you. They say, Jesus, I know. And who else? Paul, I know. We know them. But you, who are you? So we know Paul. Paul, hi, we know him very well. Yeah, we know. We recognize that man. We know him. We did try, of course. Temptations will come. Trials will come. Because every man's faith will be tried. I keep saying it. Your faith will be tried as by fire. That's a place of promotion. Your faith will be tried severely sometimes. Could be health, could be finances. It could be tried severely. You must prove to God your faith all the time. Jesus did it. He had to prove to his father where his faith was. All the time. Paul said, none of these things move me. I must finish this thing. That same, yeah, I know in whom I believe. You have to prove to. I said to my wife, I said, we have become so weak. And because we're not preaching, we say this and we call love, we're misunderstanding it. I said, we preachers should wake up. We should wake up. I'm not kidding. The people have become so lackadaisical, you know, they love you. In the early church, when famine was coming, who was the first to know? The church. The church knew that this famine would come, and God told them what to do, how to get ready for it. Before the world knew, the church had known. So he said that prayer is a prayer life, consistent prayer life, is very important. It's not just we come here and pray one and a half hour. No, it's a. Our brother Ernest was saying it. He said, God has taught me to pray without ceasing. Anytime I have opportunity, I start praying. Pray in the spirit. If you are driving, stop listening to all this. Cut your cable. You don't need television. We live in dangerous times. My brain, if possible, you can sell your TV on eBay. I don't have cable. All I have is YouTube because I want to know what's happening in the world. I watch it on you. And once I watch something, I just, off it goes. I've had time the Lord will tell me, stop that and cut it off. And I, boom, off it goes. And I decline in my chair and pray. Because, friends, if God does not do anything for me, I am finished. I don't have any other helper. And this world is dangerous. I got to pray. I got to call on him. I got to hold him. I must have to. What do I have strength to do? What do I have wisdom to do? Do I know what's coming? Was it not we were here, suddenly the earth started shaking? Do we know? If that thing was like 7 point something, it would kill people, kill a lot of people. And you don't know how it happens. People can be sleeping, the whole region is shaking. Prayer is a place of communion with the Holy Spirit and working in partnership with him to receive a much-needed instruction. Much needed. We live by instruction because we have no wisdom. The day you begin to be wise in your eyes, you are digging your own destruction. The Bible said there is ways that are right in the eyes of men, but the end thereof is the way of death. If you want to walk with him, be a fool. Let him sit at the seat, at the chair of your heart. Let him be there. Don't ever let the devil exalt you above God. Why you think you know? It's because we know what you are doing. We're planning it out in our mind, figuring it out. So prayer is, if you don't know what you are doing, you'll be desperate to pray. Very desperate to pray. Friends, we have a lot of deserts in our lives. A lot of deserts. It's not being forest. It's not. Because the Bible says, until the Spirit is poured, that desert will remain desert. We live by general natural struggle like everybody else. It's a place of, I need instruction. You need instruction. Friends, you do. He said, I will guide you in the way you should go. I'll guide you by your ear. Jesus said, I don't do anything except my Father tells me. I don't. He said, all I do is what my Father tells me. I live by instruction. That's how he lived his life. And come and see what the Father was doing to him. He said, the Father in me is doing all of this, not me. Not me. And if the Spirit of God begins to guide you and use you, people will misunderstand you. I keep saying it. They will misunderstand you because his ways are not ours. People have the expectations how you should do things. But when he comes on, you can do things differently. Very different. And he doesn't apologize to you or anybody. Second Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this reason, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. He went to prayer, communion, fellowship, thrice. Besought the Lord thrice that he might depart from me. 9. And he said unto me, instruction. Much needed instruction. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my friend. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may dwell upon me. You see, he responds. His response to his situation changed. Instead of sitting there and saying, what's happening to me? He knew. He understood it. He's not walking in confusion. Acts 13 from verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, that's when the instruction came. It wasn't why they were watching CNN, watching Fox News, watching Abaranla, watching Nigerian movies, but sit down, 3 hours, you are still watching. What we hear there is the word, not the Spirit of God. That's when the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, to the work that whereunto I have called. Verse 3, you think after saying that, they will say, okay, I'll come and go. No. Tell you how this was dependent on God. After God said separate, they sought God the more. When? When are we separate? Is it now? Look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed some more, they were seeking for further clarification on this instruction. Separate me, they said. No, they said, we had you, sir, but we need further clarification. Is it now? Is it in one month's time? Is it end of year? There is no room for error of assumption. Human wisdom. The Bible said they prayed and fasted some more. And when God had confirmed to them is now, they put their hands on. You know, some people miss God their mind away because they think God told me to, it's now. So they start with them just. Destroy it. Prayer is a place of instruction. And we need instruction all the time. People of instruction from God are always winning. That instruction is your winning number. It's your winning number. Look at Kenny Higgins' brother-in-law. When they gave him a job, I think 60-something thousand a year. That was, I think that was 40-something years ago. And then a church called him to be their youth pastor at $100 a month. And he packed and went to the church. Then the people that gave him the job were shocked. So they went to his father-in-law and said, isn't that boy, has he not lost his mind? This is a poor church. We are ready to increase the salary. We probably want to make him the general manager. They have put their plans up there. But from where is he coming? Who gave that plan? You know, if it's today, the Lord is good. We go and take it. But the man said, I'm going to where the Lord said to. $100 a month. Friends, his ways are always foolish because he will test your faith. We are not entering into divine experience without faith. Without faith, not going to happen. So he accepted it. $100, I think $100 every 2 weeks or whatever. But that's where he was by instruction. And the Lord instructed him, start printing Christian books. And if God instructs, he provide. Harrison House Printing is one of the biggest printing businesses in America today. And he's passed away. His grandchildren are still chopping out of $100 every 2 weeks. He's died longer than. But his grandchildren, Harrison Harrison House Publishing, one of the biggest in America. And they're churning out millions of dollars. So if you took that 60-something thousand then, you know, people will go and tell Pastor Victor, I need to give thanks to Thanksgiving. What Sunday is free? Chuka, what Sunday is free? The Lord is good all the time. 60-something, and it's not God. The devil has sold him a dummy with mammon of unrighteousness. Friends, prayer is a place of instruction. Deep fellowship where God will talk to you if you want to. But if you have your plans made up and you know what you are doing and you are praying, he knows our heart now. We'll leave you alone. Again, prayer is a place of revelation of the Holy Spirit, of the things of God, especially the revelation of who Christ is. Christ is the mystery of heaven. The mystery of heaven. Jesus said nobody knows the Son except the Father. That's what he said. And nobody knows the Father except the Son. So nobody knows. And he said nobody knows the Son except the Father, and whom the Father will reveal him to. When Peter spoke, he said, Peter, flesh and blood did not tell you about me. It's my Father. Prayer is a place of instruction, but also it's a place of revelation of the truth of God, who is Christ. The power of God, who is Christ. Because that's where your faith should be. Those who trust in him will never be put to shame. Let's see what the scripture teaches here. Jeremiah 33:3. Call out to me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This was pointing to Christ that was coming. You don't know him yet. He's coming. He's coming. The truth is coming. The way to God is coming. Luke chapter 9:29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, he was mesmerized by what he saw. 34, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and covered them, and they feared, and they, as they entered into the cloud. 35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this person here, I want to tell you people who he is. This is my beloved son. Hear him. You know why John the Baptist had the greatest ministry? Short. But Jesus said that monk, he's the greatest of all prophets. He's greater than Moses. All of them. That's what Jesus said. He said, no prophet is like this man. Because he brought the greatest revelation to mankind. That is the Lamb of God. That revelation is for the salvation of Israel and the whole world. That revelation is the mystery of heaven being revealed to the world. His ministry was more than Moses and everything. All their ministry was physical. That's transition from the physical to the spiritual. Say, behold, let me show you who he is. But it was as he prayed. Then another thing we need to do, if we really want to have deep fellowship with the Holy Spirit, is we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. And the scripture tells us how not to grieve him. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then when you stop here, you can wonder, say, how? But the Holy Spirit, being a very good communicator, gives us further information. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These things are the things that are grieving. 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore fullers of God, chapter 5, verse 1, as their children, and walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, but fornication and all uncleanness. These are the things that are grieving. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. This thing is grieving. They are contrary to the nature of God. They are contrary to your new nature. This thing is grieving. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, had any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You know, A.W. Tozer, he was preaching, he said, you know, and this 100 and something years ago, he said, Christians are not different from the world. He said, now is the tax season. He said, go and see what Christians are doing with their taxes. He said, go and see what they're doing. He said, I'm not hard enough. He said, when Charles Wesley was preaching, he was too hard, but he produced clean Christians. He said, go and see what they're doing with their taxes, manipulating, telling lies. No covetous man who is an idolater had an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with your taxes. Pay taxes and pay it adequately. God will bless you more. Didn't the Holy Spirit say we should pay taxes? We hide this one. Hide that one. And that is chasing Christians around to refund 8,000, refund 5,000, which they stole from government. Some are genuine, honest error. Not everybody. Some are serious, honest error. It's an error. They didn't know. But some know. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Friends, let me say it again. The Holy Spirit is not difficult to walk with, but we need to separate ourselves from the world. It's important. And he said to us, quench not the Holy Spirit, and tells us how. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. How? Verse 20, despise not prophesying. 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Then he tells us what quenches, what stops the Holy Spirit from working. He said, number one, you must give. It didn't say, despise not prophets. Prophesying. Which can come from prophets, can come from Sunday school teacher, which is the word that God gives you, the word of God that God inspires, inspired utterance. So if you despise your Sunday school teacher teaching you inspired utterance, you are despising the work of the Holy Spirit. This teacher has prepared, prayed, sought God, and is teaching you inspired what God, he's teaching from inspiration. But you despise him or her, or despise his teaching, you're despising the word of God. You are grieving the Holy Spirit that have brought that teacher. Remember, he said, don't forget what you have been taught. God has brought that teacher, the person has, God called him to be a Sunday school teacher, giving him that grace, prepared for you, or life center lead. Can be even family prayers. Inspired utterances. You know my first pastor, Pastor Kumuyi, he will read the Bible on his knees. That's how much he honored this word. He will kneel down to read it. He told us. He will kneel down to read it. The Bible said, God said, to this man will God look at. The man that trembles at my word. He trembles at my word. He honors it like me. For God's word is God. So don't despise inspired utterances. Don't. But we do. Number two, it says, prove all things. If you are not proving all things, you are prone to get deceived and get into demonic conversation. You get under demonic spirit. It quenches him. The moment you hook up with demons, forget about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's over. Completely over. It's over. Actually, if you're hanging out with demonic things, if you don't cast them out and deal with them, the Spirit of God will be watching you. Because it's your job to cast them away. Prove all things. So that you don't get deceived. If you are not proving all things, you quench him. Say, hold fast to that which is good. So, if you don't want to quench him, give it to the inspired words of God. Don't despise God's word coming to you. Number two, do not give it to demonic spirits. Try all those things, whether they are of God or not. Prove them. Look at the Ephesians church, Revelation 2:2. I know thy works and thy labor. And thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them, which are evil. Thou hast tried them. Prove it. Try them. Which said they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars. They were being commended. Tried. It's not everything you hear you swallow. If you don't, you quench the Holy Spirit because you are very simple-minded human being. He said, you tried them. He didn't say, yeah, the apostles. No. He said, you tried them. And you found out they are liars. He said, I know your work. I saw it. So if you are not proving out things and just swallowing things like a bird, everything, blah, 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 you quench him. Because sooner or later, you are going to get in contact with demonic spirits sooner or later. In fact, more sooner than later. And they are so deceitful, you think you are still hearing the true gospel. Then I want to deal with this one. This is the last one and the name. We dishonor God, you know, how? Fellowship is guaranteed when we honor God with our lives. John 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. Why? He gave reason. The Father had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He said, that's why. I agree with him. I don't disagree with him. The Bible said that God loves meek. It's of great price. You know what meekness means? Meekness means you don't argue with him. you are easily entreated. The Bible says that kind of heart is of great price before God. It says quiet. It doesn't argue with God. And that was the quality that Moses had. Very meek. Anything God says, yes, sir. But you know there are people who are stubborn. Very stubborn. Very, very stubborn. They have no respect for anything. For I do always those things that please him. We dishonor God by being a friend with the world that is enemy of God. They do not love God at all. And then we can't even have enough of the world. Whatever their fashion brings, the next people that are patronizing is, I don't want to call their names. They wear rag, we wear. I've never, for the life of me, how is somebody normal wearing rag? What in my village, the village women who didn't go to school, we know that this is rag. How come that whatever the world puts out there, we go after it? I mean, we can't have enough of it. Even bring it to church. As if to say the Holy Spirit will be clapping for you and say, wow, this is amazing fashion. But the Bible says put on Christ. We can't have enough of it. Even from the pulpit, from, we know, you can't have, Mbaroto thing is everywhere. Exposure of breast. Complete indecency. Complete indecency. When the Spirit of God said, do all things decently and in order, where is the decency in being half naked? Where is it? Just because the world is wearing it and it's the fashion. You want to be accepted by the world? Enjoy yourself. But heaven is far for you. John 15:18. Let me tell you what those people are that you are copying. Their God is the devil. That thing is being inspired by demonic spirit. Who is the God of this world? Their music, all those things are coming from them. Be careful what music you listen to. Be careful. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the world hates Jesus. So what if they hate Jesus? What in the world are you doing with anything from them? They hate Jesus. And they hate you. But they are the ones determining what you wear, the language you speak, the music you hear, the movies you watch. They are the ones. How can you be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Just explain it to me. And then when you don't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we start acting it up. We start praying. James 4:4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And can I say it again? Enemy of God does not have fellowship with his spirit. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. I said to my wife, I said, we preachers should wake up. The world is sinking, the church is sinking. Somebody should stand up and say, stop all of that. Stop all of that. You are wedding, you are showing your breast. Who is your husband? Is it the pastor you are showing? He's not interested. Who are you showing? The only person that you see it is your husband and your children when you have them, giving them milk. When they grow up, they are no more entitled to seeing it. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, if any man love this world, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. He doesn't love God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world and the demon god. You know, I wanted to listen to worship songs. I was going through All these things they are playing. This thing was high. I played this one. It's like, bang, 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 bang. No life in it. I said, this is what people are call it with me. Nothing. It's like brass. And all these young people. I said, what's this? I was going through something to bless my spirit. Didn't find much. It was just this evening, my spirit started, because God knew I was hungry for that. He started singing this song, forgotten the name. And I went and, because I didn't even know who played, I Googled it and found it was Nathaniel Bassey. And when I put it, my spirit came alive. It was floating. I'm telling you. I said, so different from all this gang gang bing bing noise. We bring all this thing in the world to the church. All this lightning, yellow light, does it heal? Has anybody gotten healed because you came? The lightning was red and yellow, floating all over. Who has ever walked? Have you seen let man walk? Is that the Holy Spirit? The light God wants is the light of the world, the light of His word. That's the light you need in the church. Preach the truth. The truth will set people free. Pack all these things to the world, let them take it away. What do you need it for? And if you know how much they pay for it, why don't you bring the money and they will give it to poor people to find food to eat? Do I need red color and red, blue color? And sometimes even if you are older, you don't see well again. You don't need all of this. It's coming to the world. Because we are church, we are copying the world. If the world didn't start, it won't copy. Can't we be proud of being a Christian? For God's sake. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. He forsook the church. And some people want us to bend the church to please their... look, if I told my wife, I said, preacher should work. If you want to be a Christian, be wife. If you don't want, leave the church. You know, the Lord told me something. He said, let me teach you something, my son. He said, any leader without a boundary is not a leader. He said, any leader that doesn't have a boundary is not a leader. He has no direction. And nobody should follow him to where? No boundaries, no limitations, anything goes. He's a blind person. Question the Lord was asking me. He said, when Jesus said, the devil cometh has nothing in me. He said, does he have something in you? I was driving back. He said, does he have something in you? I'm asking. He said, what that thing Jesus said has nothing in me. Where is it coming from? I said, it's from the devil. He said, does he have something in you? He said, ask your church. Does the devil have something in you? If he has, he will come for it. Has he planted bitterness in you? Has he planted bitterness in you? Has he planted pride in you? All these things that are for the world. Has he planted something in you? Yeah. Jesus said, he has nothing in me. Does he have anything in you? It will affect fellowship. Let me tell us why we struggle as Christians. There shouldn't be struggle. Second Corinthians 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting it. Cleanse. I purge myself. You purge yourself. If you ever walk in fullness of his power, you'll be a wonder to everybody. And finally, not taking his word seriously. Not taking his word seriously. You know, we have this attitude. We don't really take instruction seriously, generally. You know, we're teaching about listening. Listening to understand is different from just listening. We should take his word seriously. If we're not taking his word seriously, we're not honoring him. Matthew 58, these people draw it nigh unto me with their mouth and honor it me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They're not teaching my word. They don't care about my word. Hebrews 3:15, why it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. You know, we hear the word of God and we, oh yeah, awesome. But we don't have any intention of responding to it at all. Lie. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What is he teaching us? To deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Every Christian should read this. Ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what grace is teaching us to do. Because grace empowers us to do that. There's no half measure in this thing. Friends, there's no half measure in this thing. That's why when John Wesley and the group were preaching all of this, look at New York. They will come to hold a crusade in New York. They have not preached yet. You can check this. They have not preached yet. They just landed at the harbor. Every beer parlor will close. Check it. Go to Google and find out. They have not preached yet. They have just landed. People will be in the pub where they are selling beer. All of a sudden, the ox are crying. Nobody preached. People who are close to God. People who know God. They do exploits. They have not preached yet. They just landed, passing through New York. It's like a wave will pass through that town, all over. And people, pubs will close, people will repent. Anywhere they are. Go and read about the move of God in Boston. And they say, hey, once they start preaching, I'm asking myself, I say, God, is it not the same God? He said, purify your heart. Cleanse up yourself. Don't grieve my spirit. Don't quench. I know everything about everybody. If a vessel is full of himself, there's no space for me. The call of a Christian is to die. I not called it. How did they call it? Sweet. Huh? Huh? Beautiful. He was trying to make it beautiful so we can accept it. The call of a Christian is to come to Christ and die so that only him can live. Why do we struggle in prayer? Why is prayer a struggle? Why do we struggle? A lot of areas in the life of believers is still desert. It hasn't even become a field, not to talk of forest. The Spirit of God says, until the Spirit is poured. Let us pray. Precious Father, we just want to thank you. For fellowship with your Spirit is not a religious thing. The vessel must be ready. If we value you, we will pay the price. If we value anything and we want it desperately, we borrow money to buy it. We go and borrow money to buy it because we want it. If we want fellowship with you, it's up to us to pay the price. Cut off the world. Stop grieving your spirit and playing church, playing religion, deceiving ourselves. May there be real, genuine change of heart in all of us. If we want the priceless move of your spirit in our lives, we should pay the price. If we can go and borrow thousands to buy a house because we need a house, it's up to us to pay the price, to lay down our life. Jesus said we can't be his disciples unless we carry our cross and die there. Lord, help us to understand this message. Help us to respond to it so that we can see your glory, which you've been yearning to reveal through each of us. It's never your plan for your children to be confused and be struggling and be living in desert land. We're not even regular people. We're peculiar human beings. Lord, it's time for transformation. It's time for the move of God. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.